Welcome to another episode of the podcast novella, The Big Book, by Brett Casto. Today's episode covers chapter 21 of the novella. Here Charlie has a rather pointed conversation with an Igor named Harry, and Aelwick's boys in blue show up to make an appearance. And now let's jump right into the story. Sparks flew off horseshoes as we nearly skidded to a halt in front of the Brookshire estate. It was one of those huge jobs that had been on the island since before it was part of the kingdom. It stood 3 stories tall all the way around, and its walls were sheer white stone that even a skilled thief would have passed up. I ran up the stairs drawing my crossbow as I did. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Something was wrong. And that's when the first crossbow bolt flew past my ear. It was a damn good shot. It hadn't been an accidental miss. That was a good old-fashioned warning shot. I dove back down the stairs and rolled under the cover of one of the ornate lions that stood at each side of the bottom. I looked up just to make sure that it was indeed ornate. You can never be too careful in this city. I tried to think of something to say, but if Ed was on his way I didn't want to have to explain why I'd told a lord that I was a police officer. I didn't have to be the one to break the ice though. Someone else had stepped up to that particular plate before I got to it. The May the Wraith not being anyone right now, yelled a voice of an Igor. I could tell he was an Igor by his patented lisp that all Igors throughout time have. Igors are a strange race of creatures created through mad science. They aren't born, and they aren't magically created. They were alive, but pieced together from old used parts by madmen who called it medicine and science. They are generally a gentle lot, but when rallied up by the people they work for, they are deadly loyal. Yeah, well, we seem to think that we'll be talking to him very shortly. I yelled out with as much bravado as I could muster while cowering. I tried only once to look out around the lion. Another bolt flew by, this time taking my hat right off of my head. And I like that hat. Do you happen to have a warrant? It's on its way. Who am I speaking with? Harry. I work for Lord Brookshire, and I am currently charged with keeping the peace here. I do not want to fight, but I will do what I must to uphold my mathers with eth. And if I may ask, who might you be? The man's calmness under the circumstances was unnerving me. I'm Charlie Maldoon, private investigator. I'm currently working a case in which has turned into a murder, and we have reason to believe that your master might have some very important information about it. The regular coppers will be here any minute. Harry, what are you going to do then? Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll have to wait and find out, won't I? But for the time being, and ath how you're not a real copper, I think I'll just keep the peace. Ed needed to hurry up. I wasn't sure if I could cover this whole place by myself. Being pinned down here wasn't going to do me any good, so I snatched up my hat and darted around the side of the lion using the stone railings as cover while I moved up beside the building. It was risky, but I continued along the wall and began the sprint towards the back of the mansion. All the windows were up too high for even a couple of men to attempt to reach without a serious ladder. It was a long run till I got to the back corner. I peeked around and saw nothing. The only back exit was in the middle of the building, mimicking the front. The stairs were longer though, granting a more gentle slope, but they were also lined by short shrubs along both sides. I made a dash for them, but only made it a few feet when I heard a crossbow misfire. Damn, came Harry's annoyed voice. All Igors possess an ability to seemingly move through space without physically moving, and appearing magically to just pop up wherever it is that they need to be. Of course this is complete malarkey, and they're just really damn fast and smart. I raised my crossbow as I backpedaled for the corner, leveled it at where I thought I heard the shot come from, and squeezed the trigger. The tiny bow wasn't all that accurate at this range, but it sounded like the bolt hit something wet. You ton of a bitch. You thought me. Why'd you do that? For the voice was more annoyed now. Well, you fired at me, I yelled back. Yes, but you're the one running around in my yard, he answered, and then added, without a warrant. I sat around the corner, thinking. I had to find a way to keep both the front door and the rear door covered, keep Harry occupied, and keep Brookshire from leaving the estate, if he was indeed still here. So, Harry, is Lord Brookshire in or what? I tried. Oh, I'm sure heath about foamware, he replied. This time he sounded a little winded. With all the shrubberies and the stones, it was hard to pinpoint exactly where it was that his voice was coming from. But I soon found out. There was the sound of Harry's crossbow firing again, which was odd. What was he shooting at? The thud on my boot told me what he was shooting at. A sizzling pain shot across my foot. I looked down in horror and found the tail end of the bolt sticking out from the edge of my right boot. It had been hanging out just enough for Harry to thwap it with a good glancing blow. If Harry had wanted to, he could have put that bolt dead center. I don't doubt that a bit. And that would have taken me out of the chase for a good long while. But he hadn't. He'd merely wounded me enough to slow me down. And possibly just enough to thoroughly piss me off. Eagles were crafty like that. And they were really good shooters. I yelled. Now that wasn't very sporting, Harry, which was a complete lie. It was very sporting of him. I wounded him. Now he'd wounded me. Fair in that respect. He'd wounded me enough to slow me down. But didn't bother to take me out of the game yet. I guess he didn't figure I was done. Why? Why does everything have to be a damn puzzle? I startled back to the moment at hand as someone rounded the front corner of the building and was headed my way. Instinctively I brought up the bow and took aim. It was Ed. He had a half dozen flatfoots following along behind him. Watch out for the Igor, Ed wheezed. Then he saw the bolt protruding from my boot. Oh. I see you've met him already. Yeah, we've both exchanged greetings. Not sure how he's doing though. He tried to sneak a peek around the corner and I yelled out, how you doing over there, Harry? There was no answer. While I waited for an answer that I somehow knew wouldn't be coming, I took the moment to pull off my boot. It was a painful endeavor but not something that I couldn't stand. Once off I surveyed the damage. A flesh wound but something that was going to be a thorn in my side for a while. I tugged the bolt out of the boot, straightened my socks so that cloth sat between the wound and the boot. I tugged it back on and stood up. Right then, I said as I limped around the corner. Charlie, you bloody idiot. Get back over here, exclaimed Ed. I ignored him and kept walking. What I had expected to find was a bloody spot on the ground, maybe a bloody needle and some spare thread. And nobody. That is not what I got. The small bolt had hit Harry right in the top of his left shoulder, essentially nailing it in place. Probably nothing that an Igor couldn't fix. The odd thing was the fact that Harry was laying there, unconscious. He'd passed out. I pulled off my hat and scratched my head. It wasn't a fatal wound at all. It wasn't even a wound that would make a man pass out. The bolt was only about 6 inches long, four of which still protruded from the Igor's shoulder. I'd never heard of an Igor being squeamish, or of one that did anything other than relish all but the most hellish of pain. So what happened to this guy? Once the rest of the boys were there, I asked, can you check an Igor for a pulse? One of the coppers replied, I dunno. What I do know is that I'm not going to reach down there and find out. Dunno. Cuff I am. One of the younger policemen walked up and told me to put my hands behind my back. Crickets would have sounded like an orchestra in the absence of noise that followed. The first copper pulled the younger one away from me and towards the prone body, the Igor. Damn it. As much as I'd like to see you try to cuff the dick, I think one person laying about is enough for right now. The cuffing copper's groan was only just sanded over by the half-hearted laughs of the crowd. It was the laughter of people who want to laugh, but aren't really sure they want to have to look the butt of the joke in the eye when it dies down. It took four of them to pick up and haul off the Igor. They're usually short little devils, but they were built very solid. His name's Harry, I told Ed after they'd hauled him off. He was the holdout guy. Anyone get inside yet? Yeah, Ed replied. There's two squads in there now, but I'm not holding my breath. Do you have any idea how far I'm sticking my neck out on this one, guy? I'm going to have the king breathing down my neck. Yep, but I saw him do it, Ed, or at the very least I saw someone in his coat shoot a man in the head in the middle of the street. I'll sign a statement saying just that too. Pretty sure that should get you off the hook, no matter what you might think. Charlie, Ed sneered. You're not one of the immortals in the eyes of polite society. And by polite society I mean the powerful. Your name doesn't mean squat to them. Other than a flea that they'd like to smack away, you might be able to scare piss and thugs, and might be able to talk the talk with coppers. But you go sticking your nose into the business of knobs and you might just find yourself at the bottom of a hole. Since when did you believe that social hierarchy outweighed justice? Ed, am I going to have to start keeping an eye on you too? Buddy, I snarled back. Watch it, kid. You're liable to hang us both out to dry on this one. And you damn well know it. I'm fighting on the streets same as you. Only difference is that I have to follow the rules. Yeah, sorry about that, man. You're right. Let's just find Lord Brookshire and get the hells out of here. Ed nodded, but when the sergeant came out of the house he had a grim look on his face. Brookshire had done a runner. How though? Unless he was already gone when I got there. The sergeant filled us in. His coach is gone. And we found a tunnel that leads from the cellar to a shed outside the back wall. Most of his effects are still in the house. Quite a lot of valuables. But Corporal Target says that when he investigated the bedroom and office, he believes that enough items had been removed for a small holiday, sir. It is our initial conclusion that he has escaped, sir. Most likely he had everything packed and planned before the murder. Yeah, I said. But we've got his servant. Making an Igor talk is a hard proposition. But he'll know where Brookshire went. You can bet on that. Ed looked at me leerily. And just how do you suppose we get an Igor to talk? I've got an idea about that. I watched as the paddy wagon rolled off. Brookshire had gotten away. And it was a planned getaway at that. He'd probably even packed his bags ahead of time. Way ahead of time. Just waiting for things to go sour. Or maybe that was part of the plan all along. With him running, and the considerable amount of resources at his disposal, it was now a waiting game. Something in the pit of my stomach was twisting and curling up, telling me I needed to find out what exactly Brookshire was doing. Instantly I had a plan for that too. I now had a firm hold on the case and all the thorns were digging in for blood. I had to ask for a favor. Ed, think you could give me first shot at Harry? I've got to go see a man real quick to get a piece of information. But after that I think I might be able to get him to open up a little bit. He's a prisoner. Cholly. One that you've already shot. Isn't that enough paperwork for you? I can't let you go in and start slamming his fingers in desk drawers. That was only the one time. I laughed. And that was little Tony. We did that too. If I remember correctly, his fingers broke the drawers. No. I won't have to lay a hand on him. That's almost a promise. I could have worded it better, but Ed stared me in the eyes and agreed to it. He gave me 2 hours after the Igor named Harry woke up and then Ed's boys were taking over. Which is to say that Harry would be worked over only slightly. And if he didn't break, then he'd be sent over to the King's interrogators. And there's no telling what might happen then. We said our see you laters and I hit the street. I caught a ride in one of the constable wagons that was going back downtown. Luckily the trolls don't bother coppers leaving their area. But Bucky looked me dead in the eye and nodded at me as we went by. I'd have to talk to Ed about that or I'd never get back on that island ever again. And now we've reached the end of this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening to The Big Book by Brett Casto. And if you find that you simply cannot wait for the next episode, please feel free to cheat and go ahead and buy a copy of the book from Amazon.com. It is available in both paperback and Kindle formats. Thank you again for listening. And until next week, see ya, babe. The catchy music you've enjoyed during this podcast is Fast Talking by Kevin MacLeod, in Competech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.